This is episode 223, recorded October 6th, 2014.
Greetings, Aquariumaxers.
Hello again. Our apologies for missing last week.
I'm afraid I was too ill.
You wouldn't have made any sense.
No, I'm not sure I will now either, but...
You will make more
sense. I think I'm more coherent now. On the mend, at least, so here we go.
Plus, last week I wasn't very coherent either, because I didn't feel good either. So at least one of us is pretty healthy now.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you start, I don't know...
Hallucinating?
Yeah.
Over on the air?
I'll push the stop button.
Okay.
Okay.
You probably wouldn't. You'd probably just think it's
funny. Well, it might be entertaining. I don't know. Well, it depends on what you're hallucinating about.
That's true.
Okay. We have today a Google Voice message from Tony in New York, and Sean in Asheville, North Carolina, Adam in Santa Rosa, California. Oh, whoops, didn't you have Tony in New York under there?
Well, Tony in New York has a Google Voice message, and he also has emails for us. So.
We get a double dose of Tony in New York.
It's good, because we haven't heard from Tony in a while.
So. And Matt in Perth, Western Australia.
Yeah. So let's start out.
Should we do the Google Voice first?
Yes, let's listen to Tony.
Okay. Hello, Aquariumax! It's Tony from New York here. Hey, I was just listening to episode 211, and Wendell talked about getting a system set up where he could have anaerobic bacteria working. Just a minor comment, I seem to remember that there was a product called WonderSave that you could get. That sort of worked like Lava Rock, but potentially without the negative side effects. I guess the jury's out as to whether that product actually works. Although the Pet Fish Talk guys seem to swear by it, I'd love to hear comments about that. I hope it helps Wendell. Other than that, I was really excited about hearing all about fish room construction, and it occurs to me that there's a good series of videos on YouTube. I believe it's Reed's Fish Room, R-E-E-D. You know, on second thought, that would be a great guest for an interview if you guys wanted to do a show on fish room construction. Anyway, hey, have a great day, and thanks again for the show.
Okay, thank you, Tony. It's good to hear your voice once again.
Yeah.
And excellent suggestions, WonderSave. I don't know why I didn't think about that, but that's a good thing, too.
No, I don't remember... Specifically in that episode, what were we talking about?
Well, it was Wendell
talking
about lava rock to create an anaerobic bacterial bed, essentially.
And why do you want anaerobic?
Because there are certain anaerobic bacteria that cause the nitrates that are in your water to... They essentially convert them to nitrogen gas, which then just goes out into the atmosphere and you don't have to deal with it. It's a good way of getting rid of
anaerobic
nitrates.
Bacteria kind of scary?
Well, it depends on what type. It also depends on, you know, what you're doing with them. There are anaerobic bacteria that can be scary, yes. But if you have them in the right ones in controlled situation, they'll just help you get rid of your nitrates. But, you know, because you can do that with plants. Plants will eat nitrates, but there are situations where you can't really grow plants.
Plants
or where
are a little tricky.
There aren't enough plants in a tank to take care of it, and you need to do that to help reduce nitrates. And water changes help too, but it's just one of the methods in the arsenal.
So have you heard, is it WonderSave, is it like seeding for anaerobic bacteria, or does it just do the same thing?
As I understand it, WonderSave products, which I have not used, so I can't, you know, say anything about it from direct experience, but the idea is that they are a type of porous stone-like material that has been seeded with bacteria.
Okay.
And if I remember correctly,
anaerobic bacteria?
They seed them with aerobic bacteria, but they have found as they use them that they seem to either have or later grow or whatever favor the growth of anaerobic bacteria that also take care of the nitrate.
So can you use these things if you're trying to cycle a tank from the beginning, if they come seeded with bacteria?
Yes.
Oh.
You can. And they're also supposed to, at least that's one of the ideas or uses behind them, and that you can use them to just boost your beneficial bacterial activity in any situation.
Okay.
In a sump as, or as whatever. As I recall, they were developed in Japan for bioremediation of outdoor water, you know, bodies of water.
Mm-hmm.
They'd put them in streams and stuff to help take care of wastes and things that were
interesting,
causing problems. And then they later developed some for ponds and for fish tanks.
Interesting.
So definitely something worth looking into. Not that I, as I said, I can't make any claims from personal experience, but I've heard about them, listened to the interview that the Bailey brothers did with one of the folks over there at WonderSafe, and sound like an interesting product and worth looking into.
Well, maybe if anybody out there in Radioland has used it, give us a review.
Yeah, that would be great. And then regarding Tony's other comment about the Reed's Fish Room, that's what it was called, right? Reed's Fish Room, is that what he said?
I believe so.
I think so. That sounds like a great idea. I'd love to do an interview like that. We've talked about fish rooms before, but it's been a good long time. It's about time we do it again.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be a great resource. Thank you, Tony.
Okay, Sean in North Carolina.
I need to preface this one because it's a direct response to an email, because so it might not make sense without a little context.
Give us some context.
Okay. Sean and I were discussing various types of live food, including Russian Red Daphnia, because he was wondering
isn't that the kind you
them.
Have?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And because it is, I was able to give him some answers about them. And he was wondering about how they could be used to take care of algae in a tank, like a green water bloom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the water just gets the suspended microalgae that makes the water look green. He was having an issue with that and wondering about the use of those. And I mentioned I had Russian Red Daphnia, and so he was responding to that.
Okay, so says I'm guessing they die off pretty quickly without the suspended algae, though, right? Like, once they finished it all off in the tank?
Yeah, so yeah, they do need a constant food source.
It'd be kind of hard to fish them all back out.
Right.
Have you ever heard of someone trying to keep Daphne in a tank with other fish? Well, could you just, like, squirt some in while they're in there? Or is it, I guess you put the fish back in and then they just eat them.
Well, there's that, but there are a couple of things. I have heard of people using, you know, Daphnia to rid tanks of green water. It happens. People do it. The thing is, once they've eaten enough of it, you have to keep feeding them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you, or otherwise they'll die. But if you put fish back in, the fish will eat them. And you could add algae a bit at a time, I guess, if you wanted to. But
like the spirulina liquid that you mix up and feed to them?
Yeah, yeah, you could do that. But I'm not sure how well that would go on with the plants. I mean, it might kind of sit on the plants and bud their leaves, and I don't know. It's a good question.
Well, I guess if you want to put the fish back in, it's...
It's kind of, yeah.
A moot
point. They become
point.
A snack.
Yeah.
But I would just say keep a colony of the Daphnia going outside of the tank. And whenever you do have green water problems, just you can take your fish out, throw some Daphnia in, they'll take care of it. Then you put your fish back in.
And your fish
And you still have Daphnia, and your fish have a snack.
Would it work?
Best of
I mean, if
words,
you had
worlds.
A pond outside that was big enough...
Mm-hmm.
That you had fish in, but you put Daphne in to help with algae. If, I don't know if it was big enough. Could they still just
coexist?
Enough of them survive to keep producing a population?
Difficult question to answer. I do know that there are bodies of water that are that both contain fish that eat Daphne and also contain Daphne, but the only ones I know of for sure are lake size.
So it would have to be a really big pond.
For example, Deer Creek Reservoir.
Right.
Has fish and Daphnia in it, but it's really big. I don't know how big it has to be to reach the size at which that works. I don't know of anybody who has, like, a backyard-sized pond, Daphnia and fish. If any of you do, let us know.
That would be interesting.
Because, like, you know, my uncle Roger has a pond with Daphnia in it, but he doesn't have any
he
fish.
He doesn't have any fish.
But Daphnia show up in there every year. So,
okay, he says, I'm rereading Wallstead to figure out what I'm going to do with this tank. I might remove the mechanical filtration and either replace with an airstone or something else for circulation of the water. By the way, here's the tank rebuild link again. listened to the pod or the episode where you said you couldn't get to it. So he sent us the pictures again.
Thank you for sending that. We looked at them. I really like how you set up that the piece of wood there, the driftwood, in the new setup. You know, the way it, the angle that it's at looks cool with all the plants, and it'll be cool to see when they all grow in. So we were able to access it this time, and we will post it so you can all check it out.
Yep. Okay, let's go to Adam in Santa Rosa, California. Oh, he was talking about shipping things.
Yeah, the last episode we talked about that. He asked some questions about shipping things to Hawaii.
Right.
Which I had little experience with. But
because we only shipped out. And he says, thank you for your help. I went to the Hawaii Department of Agriculture website and did a bunch of reading. It sounds like most plants are allowed into the state after inspection. The package must be labeled as containing plants. The plant packages will be diverted to an inspection facility before delivery, which is probably the same place that we took ours to get inspected before they left.
Probably was.
Permits are required for plants on the quarantine watch list. That list contained mostly agricultural species.
Okay, so you don't need a phytosanitary certificate. That's rather nice.
That's good.
Makes it easier and cheaper.
He says, I shipped the plants last week, and as far as I can tell, they arrived without incidents.
It's good to hear. I wish I could have been of more help, but at least it led you to the
information
Hawaii
you needed.
DOA, and that seemed to be helpful.
That's good.
It's too bad that Department of Agriculture and Dead on Arrival all have the same, like, acronym.
I probably shouldn't make any comments about that.
Yeah, probably not.
Okay.
I just mentioned it as an unfortunate coincidence.
It is kind of unfortunate.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Now we have the email from Tony. He says, hello, Aquarimax. Tony from New York here. My 6.6 gallon guppy tank is going great, and I have to say it is really awesome having 50 fish in a tiny tank. The guppy fry are not growing up as fast as I thought they would, which is the ideal situation, really. I do have to keep a close eye on it, though. When they get a bit bigger, I'll have to take quite a few to the pet store. My local store, ABC Aquarium, says they are always happy to accept guppies, which I was glad to hear before getting into them. At this time, I have a couple of fry that are gold in color, plus one with a red stripe and one with a violet stripe. This little tank is going great again.
That's something I love about guppies, their variety.
Yes, they're very colorful.
It's also very nice that he does have a situation where he knows he can find a home for those guppies anytime.
That is very good.
Because he's going to get a ton of them.
You get a lot of guppies.
Yep.
Love to
see pictures of those.
Oh, yeah.
The guppies with
Send
the interesting colors going on.
Russ had some for a long time that would pass down, like, this leopard spot gene.
Yeah, it was
And it
cool.
was really neat. They just have, like, this patch of leopard spots. It was cool.
It was fun.
He says, also, a couple of days ago, my daughter Tara, like in Ireland.
Yeah.
Took off for kindergarten and has earned her own MP3 player for bus rides. And wouldn't you know it, she is thoroughly enjoying the Aquarimax show every morning.
That's cool.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. He has a quote from her. When I was 4, she says, I wasn't quite so interested. But now that I am 5, I am very interested in learning all about fish.
Well, look how...
That's so cool.
Wisdom comes with maturity.
Yes.
That's great. I'm glad you're listening to us, Tara. I hope you're listening right now.
Maybe she will on the bus this later this week when this episode goes out. Yeah,
there you go.
And he said, thanks again, Aquarimax. You are the heroes of the day. Swimmingly, Tony from New York.
Yeah. See...
That's so cool.
That's about the age I got interested in fish. I guess I technically started when I was 4, but...
How old was Gwen when she got her tank for Christmas?
Oh.
Was she 5?
Tank with
she almost
coral?
5, yeah.
Yeah, she was right about there. Almost 5.
Because he was... What did we figure? Close to 3 years old.
Mm-hmm. When coral
and
died.
And she's 8.
Yeah.
And she got him for Christmas, so she must have been... I don't know,
yeah,
almost about
she was
to
just
turn
about
five.
To turn
just
5,
about to turn
and because she turns in January. Yeah,
maybe it's like the magic number.
Could be.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Can we put that like as a testimonial on our website or something? That's too cute.
It
I
is.
Love it.
It's awesome. And I emailed him to ask him.
Oh,
ask
about the name.
How
oh, I see. I hadn't read
name.
Ahead.
That's how come I knew.
Oh, okay.
But.
He's gonna send us. Vacation videos that have fish in them, too, he
yeah,
says.
Yeah, which we would
That'll
love to
be
see.
Good. Where, did he say where you went?
I don't believe he did.
No, okay. I will find out. It'll be a surprise. He says, thanks again for all the help in the past with the 6.6 gallon. I am delighted to say that it is absolutely thriving again, and that I'll be getting some horned nerite snails for it soon, too. I hear that they are tiny enough to climb up into the plants and eat algae that they find there. I'm going to try this out and see.
I'm really glad to hear the tank is going well, and I would really like to hear how the horned nerites worked out, too.
Yeah.
Okay. I love what he says here. Check it out.
Fan forever.
Yeah.
Yes. Every time I think we need to do t-shirts and we never have time to get it done.
We'll eventually get there, right?
I hope so.
Someday.
Okay, well, let's go to Matt in Perth. And he says, G'day, Quiramax. I am loving my new 4-foot discus tank. So much better than it was with the rock cichlids in it. The Mbuna have been rehomed and are thriving in their new aquarium. I have seen pictures and I am thrilled that they have a loving new home. My 4-foot looks stunning after I scraped off the algae using a metal razor and filled the tank with plants. I love my discus so much. Just look at how stunning they are in the pictures below. They are...
I will show you.
Okay, yeah, because I haven't seen them yet. We put them up on the page, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
They're all eating now and constantly schooling together. I have even seen some courting behavior. I can't wait for them to grow bigger, and I also can't wait to set up my 6x2x2 into a planted discus tank.
That would be awesome. That would be neat.
I currently still have my double fluorescent tube lighting setup, but I will upgrade both tanks to high-quality plant LED setups when I can afford it. I can't stop watching the 4 discus. So happy with them. It says, and signed, Matt, from the happiest place on Earth.
In front of a fish tank.
Yes.
That is a pretty happy place
to be. Well, in Australia, too. That's a cool place.
Yeah.
Actually, lately I'm kind of thinking, oh, I want to go to Australia someday and visit.
I would love to visit Australia, I'll tell you that.
I mean, I kind of already thought that, but it's just more on my mind lately.
Okay. Ooh, I would love to go with you.
That would be neat.
So, let me find Matt's email here, and you can check out his discus.
Okay.
See, look at that.
Oh, those are pretty.
They are. Cool setup in the tank, too. I like it.
Very nice. That's a really cool... Looking at the piece of wood.
The driftwood?
Yes, it almost looks like a face. Like, this is like a really long platypus beak or something, and there's the little eye in his head.
Oh, I see what you're saying,
It's kind of cool.
That makes sense. And something that always fascinates me is the types of colors you get on discus.
They're not albino because they have dark eyes, right?
Well,
they're just...
There are so many different colors on it.
Because that guy's like blue. He's dark blue. And then we've got these that are like white with kind of peach-colored markings.
And I'm not sure exactly how that plays out in real life, what color that is, because you can never tell on camera. But
right.
Yeah. But they're
Definitely really different from each other.
Yeah, and really, really pretty fish. And discus are also fun in that they have personality. They're cichlids, you know. And so cichlids have a lot of personality. Right. But discus have... Within cichlids have their own different types of personalities. You know, they're unusual among cichlids in that respect. So that'll be really fun to watch that develop as time goes on.
Yeah.
And they're regal and sedate. You know, they tend to be, well, not always sedate, but a lot of times they are.
They have presence.
You know, they have definitely regal and sometimes sedate. And in fact, they tend to be rather calm fish, and that they don't want fish that will... You know, be really frenetic in the tank. It kind of freaks them out. They prefer to be kind of calm.
They need a calmer vibe.
But that's fun because then they're calm. But at the same time,
kind of like goldfish, or kinda, not quite that calm.
Well, different. But they have their own thing. You know, discus are just in that class by themselves, I guess is what I want to say. And they're very people. So there are various directions you can go in the aquarium hobby, right? One of them is discus. There are people who go into discus and stay there forever, and that's where they go. That's like the pinnacle of the hobby for those people. There are quite a few that do that, and I think discus have a lot to recommend, and that's part of the reason that people end there and stay there.
They find their niche there
because discus are so amazing in so many ways.
Oh, cool.
Not that I've ever kept them, but that's just what I've
learned. Well, put it on the list.
Yep, someday we'll get a discus tank. They like really warm water, so do you.
That's true.
So there you go. We should get a discus tank.
I want to go swimming in a hot tub.
Not with discus, though, probably.
Well, probably not well with discus.
But yeah, there you go. I think that's a lot of fun. I'm glad that Matt has been having fun with his discus, and we hope to get regular updates as things will move on. And, the courtship behavior, you know, that would be neat. If you manage to catch that and watch that document it. Video? I know that there are a lot of people who keep discus, but they never end up getting babies from them and because they're a little bit tricky. But then there are other people who get them to spawn and they raise them just fine. And so it would be interesting to see that happen.
Yep.
All right. Well, I think that's what we've got for this week.
Do you have anything to talk about? I guess it's not, like, actually a fish.
You can still say something.
Can I say it anyways? Yeah. Mick will think it's cool.
Yeah. A lot of
probably everybody else will think it's cool, too.
A lot of our listeners also keep other pets.
This is slightly off topic.
Okay, you can still say it.
Last week.
It was the week before, wasn't it?
Week before. It was the last weekend in September.
Yeah.
So it was last week.
Was it really?
Despite illness. Because it only happens once a year. We went to...
That was before I was feeling sick.
No, but I felt awful.
But you felt a little sick, but then you felt better that day.
I felt better while we were there.
Yeah.
We went to the Wasatch Reptile Expo here in Salt Lake. And I totally fell in love with crested geckos. And... I had to have a crested gecko because they were so cute. I kind of lost my mind. But Russ indulged me because he's like, you want your own gecko. How can I say no? So we brought home a darling little crested gecko. He's too young to know if it's a male or a female yet, so we just picked a pronoun and we're saying she for now. We'll see if it's really a girl or not. But we named her Timbuktu, and it's Tiki for short. And she's very cute, and she's, like, the breeder was really good. She'd already been handling them, so the day after we got her, I could take her out, and she'd just sit and chill in your hand, and she eats out of my hand, and she, you know, looks at you with her big gecko eyes. And so
she's a very cute little gecko.
She's very cute. I'm very excited about it. We should put a picture up of Tiki
on
the Facebook page or something.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. So that's kind of my exciting non-exactly fish news.
But it's still a little critter and it's fun.
She's very cute.
Yep, she is. So I think that's all we have for this week.
Okie dokie.
Until next time.
But we are glad to be back.
Yes.
We miss you guys when we can't, you know, quote-unquote talk to you this way.
We are talking. They're just not necessarily talking back immediately.
But hearing from you and, you know,
yeah,
it's nice to be back. So
it is indeed. So we hope to hear your fishy adventures this week.
Mm-hmm.
And until we do,
may the fish
be with you.